Well, today I'm going to talk about, may I say, a tale of two banquets. Tale of two banquets, where one of them is human, a human banquet. I would say, in a very real sense, pretty much all our banquets, our feasts, our parties, they all have some similarity to this banquet. And then there's going to be another one, which I sort of already hinted at with the children. Jesus was going to a Sabbath meal. He was invited. He was invited by a group of people, you might say, are very proud, very high-minded. But they're not proud in the sense that you might be proud of this piece of furniture you've been working on, and you finally built it and put it together, and it makes it look really good now. You're not proud in the sense of, I've got wonderful kids who've done a great job, and I'm proud in what they are doing. No, this is a different kind of pride these men have. This is the kind of pride that you might see in, oh, say, Isaiah chapter 18, where the Lord says, "You said in your house, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." In a sense, it's a picture of Satan. That's what this is about. About Satan's pride, about how he wants to put himself higher than God himself because he thinks he deserves it. And that's what these men at this party are like. Unfortunately, we can't blame the Pharisees for everything in life, all our troubles, all our problems, because the Pharisees are really us when it comes right down to it. I want to have the power in my life. I want the accolades that come in this world. I want people to notice me. In fact, we go around even trying to self-exalt ourselves in various ways. I want to be exalted. I want to be God of my own life. In fact, I find in my own life I don't need God most of the time. Sundays seem to be the most important day that I'll think about God. The rest of the time, it's mine. It's under my care, my direction. That's how we think. That's our human nature. And this is the kind of people that Jesus went and had a banquet with. A Sabbath meal. Now, it's interesting when Jesus goes into this place, because of this prideful attitude of these people, you would think that they would welcome him in because they've heard about him. They've heard of all the wonderful things he's done, all the healings, all the love he shows, the mercy he shows. But no, what does it say? It says, well, they invited him, but they were watching him closely. They were like, I got you. We got you in my eyesight. We're going to see what you're all about. In fact, we're going to check up on you because, you know, all our rules and regulations that we have, you seem to want to break them all the time, and we're going to get you on those. They have that wonderful political tactic of game of gotcha. That's what they're trying to play here with Jesus. We're going to watch you so closely that we get you so that we know that we can tell everybody else what you're doing wrong all the time. They'd rather play that game than listen to Jesus and learn from him. Well, while they're at this banquet, a man with dropsy, edema, comes into the place. How he gets there, the scriptures don't say. Maybe he was a plant by somebody. Maybe he just walked in off the street knowing Jesus is there. Those men there are watching him closely, saying, thinking to themselves, let's see if we can catch him, if he's going to break the Sabbath rules again that we have. But before he does anything, Jesus says to them, is it legal, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? What's interesting is all these lawyers and Pharisees that are there, all these well-versed men in the laws and the rules, don't say anything. Because they know down deep in their hearts, Scripture says, no, it's okay to heal on the Sabbath. Because that's what God does. He actually grants mercy on the Sabbath. If you go back to the Old Testament, on the Sabbath day, what did God do in the Old Testament? He fed the Israelites. He said, you take the whole day off. It's all on me. I'll take care of it for you. You rest, you relax. I'll make sure you have enough food. I'll make sure you have what you need. I'll watch over you. And then besides that, the Levites, the priests, had to do sacrifices on the Sabbath day. They still had to bring a lamb or something to the altar, cut it up, sacrifice it, pour its blood out, burn it. They had to start a fire, which was illegal to do on the Sabbath, by the way. But they had to do it. Why? Because God was showing mercy. This is a way of forgiving sins. So on the Sabbath, God does offer mercy. And what is Jesus doing? He wants to offer mercy. And what do these men want to do in their pride? We can't do that. We have our rules. And our rules make us good and better than anybody else, especially you, Jesus, because you're not following our rules. And so they say nothing. But what does Jesus do? He takes the man, he touches him, he heals him, and he sends him on his way. And then he says to him, which one of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? Well, of course they would. But they aren't going to admit that right now because their pride's getting in the way. Well, here you have the beginning of a wonderful evening, I'm sure. Jesus has basically told them, you guys are a bunch of frauds. But he's still there. He's still talking to them. And now the banquet gets even more dramatic. Jesus says, well, you know, I've just been sitting here noticing. All of you guys, you all seem to want to run to the best seat in the house here. You're all chasing that high honored chair. Why don't you do this instead? Why don't you sit down at the bottom where the least is supposed to sit? Where the least powerful, the least important should be taking a seat. Why don't you start there and work your way up as somebody invites you? You can almost sit and see the Pharisees going, are you crazy? That's not how you get ahead in this world. You put yourself in first place. You make yourself the most important one in the room so everybody listens to you instead because that's what you want. You want to be the most impressive. You want to have the most power. You want to be the one that looks down at everybody else and tells them what to do and how to act. And instead, Jesus says, no, sit at the back. Because if you're sitting in the front, what if somebody more impressive comes in? And then you'll be humbled. And you'll have to sit in the back of the room anyway. So start there. And let the host invite you forward so that you can be honored in front of everyone else. I can again imagine these Pharisees are going, who invited him? It's getting more dramatic as it goes along because you see, they're being told about their life, what they're really like. Because God does not work like these people. Jesus is not like these people. Self-exaltation is the problem in this world. And the problem with these Pharisees is they think they deserve the high places because of who they are, their rules, their regulations. But again, they're us too. Well, more drama ensues because now Jesus not only has told the whole group of people in the room who were invited what you should be doing instead of what you are doing, now he goes to the master of the ceremony himself. And he says, next time you have a banquet, why don't you do this? Why don't you go out into the streets and invite the lame, the sick, the poor, the blind, and have them come in. And don't invite your friends, don't invite your relatives, don't invite the important people, don't invite the elites of the city, because they can repay you. What good? Bring in the others. And then again, I'm hearing in my mind the words of the master. Well, what good is that going to do me in life? What good are these people going to do for me? They can't take care of their own lives. How are they going to improve my life? Because you see, When we want people in our lives, we want the ones who are we can stand next to and have their pictures taken with them. Because that's the person that's going to make me more impressive in the world. Look who I know. Look who knows me now. Look who can give me something to make my life even more impressive to the world. These people don't know what humility is. They'd rather have everybody look at them and see how important they are. They want to be in charge. Jesus says, no, you invite them. Why do you invite these poor people? They aren't going to pay you back in this life, but the Lord says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Jesus is telling them, you aren't going to, may not get repaid right now, but the Lord's going to repay you in this. But you see, that's too far in the future. That doesn't help me right now. That doesn't help my standing in the community right now. That doesn't make me more me. They still don't see it this way. Their pride gets in the way. Those poor cannot help me. The goal is to have power in this world. The goal is to have influence. The goal is to have prestige in my life. Now they can't help me. They can only hinder my assault on the highest rung of society. You see, Jesus is starting to destroy all their false ideas of what God's like because they think God is looking out for the big guy, the wonderful person, the one that you want to see on all the statues. It's almost as if God wants to put all these wonderful Pharisees on a pedestal and put them in his heavenly kingdom and say, look at all these wonderful guys. Aren't they great? They don't know that that's not what Jesus and the Lord is looking for. He's looking for the poor and the sick and the lame and the blind and the hurting and the lonely. Because that's who he wants to bring to himself, because those are the ones who know they need God and his help. Well, I'm going to ask you to do a little something right now. Because this banquet isn't over with yet. If you open up the Bibles that are over with you to chapter 14 in Luke, you'll see what I'm talking about. Chapter 14, if you want to find it fast, is on page 874, right there. Because this banquet isn't done yet. Now, in our readings today, this is where it ends, but the banquet continues. And here's what Jesus says. Chapter 14, verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, this man said to Jesus, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. It's almost as if like this whole banquet is silent. Nobody's talking after what Jesus said. And now somebody blurts this out just kind of to break the silence. And Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. That's good news. Everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. All of these have some sort of an excuse based on what they have in their life. They've got power. They've got prestige. They've got wealth. They've got the pleasures of life. But these are more important to them than the master's banquet, the master's request. In fact, it isn't so much that these things are more important, it's the people themselves think they are more important. My life's more important than this master and his banquet. He's not that much importance to me at all. It's me first. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what have you commanded has been done. And there still is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. The servant is Jesus. He's going and doing exactly what his Father has called him to do. Fill my house. Bring in the people, the lame, the blind, those who are out in the hedges and the byways, the sinners of the world, the robbers and the prostitutes, and anyone who is a sinner. Bring them in. But these who were invited, these righteous, prideful people who think they're more important than God himself, they've rejected it. They've left themselves out. You see, God is unlike us, our human beings. Jesus is totally unlike any of us. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. You see, he sat at the lowest place. He sat at the lowest seat in the table, the cross. And from there, by his death and suffering, he forgave us. And his heavenly Father exalted him to the right hand of the Father in heaven. You see, this banquet where the Lord says all is ready is the good news for you and for me. Because what is ready? It's the great wedding feast that Jesus is talking about here. The wedding feast of the last day when our Lord will come and gather us to be with him. The wedding feast is all prepared. In that place, there'll be no more sin because it's gone. There'll be no more suffering, no more Alzheimer's, no more cancer, no more problems in life, no more shootings, no more hurricanes. All of that stuff will be gone. We will live by sight and not by faith. We won't have to have faith in Jesus anymore because he's going to be standing right in front of us. And that same Lord who suffered and died on the cross will be coming up to you and wiping away every tear. Every tear from the sadness of loneliness, the sadness of dying, the sadness of losing people in your life. It'll all be gone at this banquet that we've been invited to. And it's all been paid for. The food is laid out. The drinks are there. As one pastor once said, you can go and have wine and have it abundantly. Because it's an open bar now. This is what our Lord is doing for you and for me. And Jesus has paid for every bit of it. It's free, totally free for an eternity. And you will be invited to be seated at the seat of honor beside the Creator of the universe. And if you don't have the right clothes, don't worry about that. Because the Lord's going to clothe you in his righteousness, his holiness, that he has earned for you. God has not invited the wise or the mighty to this feast, this banquet. He's invited the lowly, the poor, the lame, the sinners. He's invited you. He's invited me. God calls to his banquet to those who can't pay him back. We don't have enough in this life to ever give back to our Lord what he's done for us. But he invites you because he loves you and cares about you. And he wants you in this banquet hall. He wants you to be with him because it'll give him such pleasure to have you there because you're his creation. The sinner who humbles himself, who recognizes their sin, is the one the Lord's looking for. The one who doesn't humble himself thinks, I don't need God. So God says, fine. You don't need me. You can stay where you are. But for the sinner who humbles himself, who recognizes they're poor, sick, lame, and in need, he invites and he says, come and be with me. You're mine. I've suffered and died for you, and I invite you to be with me forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.